You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Sean Broderick, senior editor at WeissRatings.com. He's speaking to us from Florida. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
President Trump has announced that there will be 25% tariffs on both Canadian and Mexican goods effective March 4th. Both countries have promised there'll be retaliatory tariffs, and then the president says he'll put more tariffs on top of stuff if you have tariffs. Does anybody ever win a trade war?
No, and we should get this right. He said April 2nd. His people said March, right? And then he came out and he contradicted them again. And so I don't know who's right. The uncertainty is actually part of it. I mean, if there's so much uncertainty, then people don't know how to invest and companies don't know how to spend their money. You know, they don't know what's going on. I mean, obviously there are conflicting forces within the White House and on his team that are coming up with different plans, and we don't know which one will be enacted. So it's tough for people to actually sort out. And no big company wants to make millions of dollars worth of investments when they don't know, you know, how things will actually work out, what laws, what policies will actually be enacted, and if things will change 4 years from now, though I really doubt that. So, you know, I can see how the uncertainty is actually affecting the decisions of both companies and investors now. And the tariffs are not a good idea. They just are not. I'm against this. Certain selectively targeted tariffs, like you could do this on a bunch of stuff from China, for example, or else the stuff that's sent from China, put through Mexico, and then shipped to the U.S., you could do it on that too. But tariffs on our friends in Canada, no. For one thing, aside from energy, which we want that as much and as cheap Canadian energy as we can possibly get, because remember, Trump promised that he was going to lower energy prices. So we want that cheap Canadian energy, and we want it to remain cheap. Aside from that, the U.S. sells more stuff to Canada than Canada buys, than like Canada sells to us. So, I don't know. It's just not well thought. It's not well thought out. It's more slogans than it is science. And we'll have to see how it works out. But I can see why people are pessimistic.
Well, prepare to pay more for your French fries. Canada supplies 75% of America's French fries. The potatoes, apparently, that they grow in Idaho and other places are a different kind of potato, more suitable for mashing or baking, but not for French frying.
That was news to me. Now, I'm from Maine.
Yeah.
We used to go dig potatoes out of the ground and use them, and we didn't care about what particular type they were.
Yeah.
They were Maine potatoes. That's fine. And maybe companies will adjust. Maybe they'll suddenly decide that those potatoes grown in Idaho are good enough for French fries. I don't know. But, you know, it's a mess of people. It's chaos. And again, it's hard for companies to invest when they're not sure what's going to happen, and it seems like things are done on a whim or because President Trump heard something, and so now he believes it, and it's just not true. So, you know, good luck to everybody in that. I wish the best to all the potato farmers and also the companies using potatoes, but there are no easy solutions here.
What's going on with gold?
Well, it is fascinating. We're finally seeing gold pull back. We're seeing the U.S. dollar bounce and gold pull back. Part of this is due to tariffs, but as we've seen in the past, the tariffs don't make gold, don't make the dollar bounce for long. It's very short term. So what I'm hoping is that we'll get a pullback to gold where I can finally buy things on the cheap because they've gotten kind of expensive, and sure enough, the gold stocks are falling a lot faster than gold is. There is support for gold. There's all kinds of levels of support, and we'll have to see where it goes. I mean, there's support right above 2,800. There's some there. There's other support right around 2,760, 2,761. So we're not sure exactly how gold, I should say, how deep gold will pull back. And here's the thing. In all the other gold pullbacks, buyers have come in rather quickly. And so maybe gold really won't have the chance to pull back, or maybe we will finally get a big pullback, the kind you see in any bull market, right? Is you get big pullbacks, and those are chances for people to reload. And so maybe we will get another buying opportunity. It's still early days in this, though. So I'm not making any plans. I'm just holding on to my gold positions, just kind of waiting and seeing how things go. We'll see how things go in the next couple of weeks. Oh, one thing I would like to add is that trying to get ahead of the tariffs, there's a lot of gold being sold, flown from like London into New York. Now, London still has plenty of gold. There are people trying to do scaremongering about London's going to run out of gold. No, it isn't. And I'm sure they'll find plenty of places to store it here, but it is interesting. And that's another way that the tariffs are actually affecting the markets and affecting what investors do. Because we're seeing a lot of gold flowing from London to New York, trying to get ahead of those tariffs.
We'll have more with Sean Brodrick right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Sean Brodrick. Sean, has the stock market is it near its peak, or is there still lots of room for U.S. stock markets to grow?
Well, here's the funny thing, is that when you get these pullbacks, in the early days, it's hard to tell whether it's a pullback bringing you to a good place to buy, or whether it's the peak and a lot more selling is coming. It really is impossible to tell. Now, you can find people who feel very strongly about this one way or the other, but I don't feel strongly about this. And the reason being is that this is happening because of policy decisions coming out of the White House. And as we've seen, White House policy can change on a dime. Now, at the current point, the White House and Uncle Sam is shooting himself in the foot, but that could change rather quickly. I don't know. I mean, why are we picking a fight with Canada? This makes no sense to me. I mean, I am really puzzled by this. So, but at the same time, I don't want to be really pessimistic because, you know, things could work out. We could see good policies put in place that are actually helpful to business. And we know there are big tax cuts coming, right? And I'm sure that the corporations of America are looking forward to those. Maybe not so much on the trade front, but there are other ways that, you know, money could flow to the right areas to really help investment and stuff like that. So I'm not being too pessimistic, but I'm not certainly not an optimistic when I look at the market right now. I either want things to sell off hard and then I'll consider buying, or I want things to get to some kind of coherent policy that stocks can move higher again. Right now we're in this no man's land where, you know, it's a gray area. I don't really know. So uncertainty really is it. In that kind of environment, I would recommend gold. You know, I mean, gold is the ultimate safe harbor. And I'm talking about physical gold, not gold miners, though. As you know, I like gold miners quite a lot. But some physical gold is not a bad thing to have here, because if one of the policy mistakes snowballs and becomes a real problem, that could not so much destroy, but just threaten, wobble the financial structure of the U.S. And that could prove very tough for the U.S. dollar. We could see a loss of confidence. And if we see a loss of confidence, we then will see gold go higher. That just usually happens. And then again, it's all up in the air. I hate to leave you or your listeners with so much ambiguity, but I don't really know what's going on right now. And I think most of the people including the ones who sound very confident on TV right now that they know what's going on, they don't really know either. We're just not sure. I mean, you heard about this Mar-a-Lago accord. Did you hear about that?
No.
Oh, my God. Okay. So the big plan is to, because we have so much debt that's maturing in the next couple of years, is to get our foreign partners to buy U.S. treasuries to swap out the debt they have for 100-year, zero-coupon U.S. treasuries. Who the hell would want to buy that? If that's the kind of plans they're coming up with, I have to think they're not thinking this through. Now, I've heard two reasons why they could get people to buy those. One is they could give people a break on the tariffs. So, again, we can't make plans on the tariffs because until the tariffs are enacted, we don't know what they will be. And maybe if the foreigners buy enough 100-year treasuries, then the tariffs will go away. So it's uncertainty. It's a huge load of uncertainty. That's one way we could maybe get foreigners to swap out their treasury debt for new 100-year zero-coupon like treasuries, saying, well, they've already sunk the cost anyway. They just do this. They get much better trade terms. That will work, and maybe it will. The other thing is to threaten Europe and say, look, either you buy these 100-year treasuries or else we aren't going to protect you anymore. That's a terrible idea. But, you know, you can see how that might happen, too. It all adds up to more and more uncertainty. And so, again, I keep coming back to gold as a refuge, gold as a harbor, this pullback is a gift, and that's the way I'm playing it.
Are you looking at other stock markets besides those in the U.S.?
Yes, definitely in Europe. Certain parts of Asia look good. I actually made some money on some on a Chinese tech fund, the CQQQ. Made some nice double-digit gains on that. Stopped when the Chinese came out with the latest numbers, and their economy isn't accelerating. But they haven't given up, and they're about to push a lot more money through the banks, so maybe it will ignite something over there. We'll have to see. China definitely has potential because everything's so cheap over there. And I'm not talking about the plastic knickknacks they sell. I mean, their stocks are cheap, empirically, compared to U.S. stocks. So that still has potential. But you know what's not waiting? European stocks. Funds are moving money from the U.S. to Europe right now. The reason being is that the Europeans, realizing they have to stand on their own, realizing that Uncle Sam isn't going to prop them up anymore, have committed to spending a lot more on defense, but also on other projects, too. And so they're taking on a lot more debt. That'll hurt European bonds, but it helps European stocks. And so we're seeing institutions rotate money over there right now. Individual investors probably are not doing it yet, but I bought like a fund, but I've only recently started buying individual stocks. I think there's a lot more to go with that. Because even though European stocks have run up quite a bit, and you should look at a chart of Rolls Royce, for example. If like you want to see a great performer over the past year, I saw some news story that only Palantir and Nvidia have really outperformed it of like major stocks. So there is a building excitement over in Europe, and so that might be a place to put some money to work. Canada could be a place to put money to work, and like people are saying, well, you know, these new tariffs are coming and they'll hit all these companies in Canada, and that might be true, but if A, it might be priced in, and B, Canada is working fast to develop new markets. We know that. We know that's the reaction. They're working out deals with China, working out deals with Mexico, stuff like that. So there's some real potential there as well. And also, you know, Canada is a major source of gold, and I am bullish on gold. And I'm actually not bearish on oil at this time, though there is more supply coming on. And if the sanctions are lifted on Russia, we could see more Russian oil coming in. That's kind of the thing that's dragging oil, if anything, right now, is I think it's expecting more Russian supply. We'll have to see how that goes. Yeah, I think overseas markets look more attractive now. And I know I'm including Canada in the overseas markets, and you're not really overseas, but just take that as just the group of stuff. Outside of the U.S. is looking more attractive because of policy uncertainty in the U.S. and the fact that stocks outside of the U.S. look comparatively cheap compared to U.S. stocks.
What's going on with uranium?
It's a sad story. I mean, you know, I was a big believer in the uranium bull market. I've sold out of nearly all my uranium positions. There's a few things going, well, you could tell because Cameco reported great earnings and the stock sold off like a rock being pushed down the stairs. So what people seem to be worried about is, A, sanctions will be lifted on Russia. It absolutely could happen. Even though the U.S. sanctions on Russia were bipartisan, that was last year. This year, there's a new team in charge, and they like Russia. So, as part of the peace deal over Ukraine, we could see sanctions lifted on Russia, which would bring potentially more Russian nuclear fuel to our markets. The other thing is, seems like Kazakhstan, which has not been able to get its act together for quite some time, they've had problems with mining, they've had problems with getting enough acid, stuff like that. They seem to be straightening that out. And so toward the second half of this year, we could see more supply come on from Kazakhstan. That's the other thing. Now, there are some people who believe, and this could be right, that anything extra they produce will be sold to China. Maybe that's true. But that's not the way the uranium market is acting right now. And I'm not just talking the spot market, which is terrible, down more than 30% from its highs. There is that. But also, we just aren't hearing people talk like they were a few months ago. We are not continuing to hear that they're signing contracts at like higher and higher prices. Now, one thing that is true is that utilities tend to go through cycles where they suddenly make a lot of contracts and then they don't. And maybe we're just in that valley situation where there aren't a lot of contracts being signed, so things are just kind of drifting aimlessly. Maybe that's it. But at this present time, I can think of other places where I would rather put money to work than uranium, not because I don't believe in the long-term uranium story. I do believe in the long-term uranium story. But in the short term, uranium might be dead money. So that's kind of what I'm looking at.
Anything else we should be keeping a close eye on?
Not really. You know, I mean, I'm just kind of watching things here. There are opportunities in this market, even if it's scary. And I know people are scared. You know, the policy uncertainty I talked about, that is a real problem. On the other hand, you know, I mean, we are seeing some opportunities open up. So people should be looking at those. There are defensive stocks which were treated like doormats for, like forever. Now people are starting to look at those. They can go higher as well. So that pretty much sums it up.
Sean, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you.
My guest has been Sean Broderick, Senior Editor at WeissRatings.com. If you have any questions for Sean or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of How Street Media Incorporated.